If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Philippians. I would like to read from the third chapter, Philippians chapter 3. Now, I know that you probably know this verse by heart, but I feel like that there are things that God, I know that God would have us to look at this passage of Scripture tonight. God has impressed it very strongly on my heart. I've enjoyed studying it during the past week, and there are a lot of truths that I haven't seen before that are contained in these in this verse of Scripture. Philippians chapter 3, I would like to read verses, I'll start with verse 12 and read verses 12, 13, and 14. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12 and reading through verse 14. The Word of God says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, the two main expressions that are on my heart tonight is, in verse 14 he says, "I press toward," what are the next two words there? "The mark." And that's the first two words I want you to think about, is the mark. I press toward the mark. For, what are the next two words? The prize. So the two main things that we're going to be looking at tonight is the mark that we're supposed to be pressing toward. I press toward the mark. We want to identify, what is that mark? We're pressing toward the mark. And we're pressing toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, there is a mark that we're supposed to be pressing toward, and there is a prize that comes to those that reach that mark. In order to press toward that mark, he tells us in the 13th verse, he says, before you can ever go forward in pressing toward the mark, what's the first thing you have to do? Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things that are before. But you cannot press toward the mark until you first forget those things that are behind. So that's the foundation. The first thing we want to do is pray that God will help us to forget those things that are behind, and then to press toward the mark. We want to think about the mark. That word mark means the same thing as a goal. I press toward the goal. You think about a football player, and he's trying to get that football to that particular goal. If he gets to that goal, then there's a prize, or there's a reward for reaching that goal. In the Christian warfare and in the Christian life, the Word of God compares the Christian life to running a race. He says that when you run that race, that there's a prize, or there is a reward for those that run the race. And the people of God need to pray that God will help us to really press toward the mark for the prize that God has for us. Now, I want you to pray for grace to just think about some things as I go through this passage of Scripture tonight. You can go home and study them to see if these things are so or not. But I believe that even in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I believe that there were marks or there were goals in His life while He was here in the flesh. I believe that there were goals for Him to reach. There were things for Him to do. And I also believe that every time that He reached one of those goals, I don't want you to think tonight about just one goal. I want you to think about the fact that I believe that there are many different goals in the lives of God's people. I believe that when you reach one goal, then God will say, now, Here's the next goal for you to shoot toward. Here's the next goal, the next place, the next mark. And then when you reach that goal and you reach that mark, you get a prize there. And then he says, now here's the next goal, and go towards this. And I think that if we understand the Word of God, that we will grow as Christians if we begin to understand there are a lot of different marks for you to reach, and there's a prize every time that you reach that mark. You might not like that terminology, but that's scriptural terminology. That's what God says here. The Scripture says, he that cometh to God, in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what Paul is talking about in this passage of Scripture. He's talking about that he personally, that he was going to forget some things that were behind and was going to press toward the mark. Now, we're going to come back and look at Paul, but I first want you to think about Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about some goals or marks that he reached in his life and the reward or the blessing or the prize that he got every time he reached one of those goals. For example, you notice in Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to read you a couple of verses of Scripture, and then I want you, as we go through these different Scriptures, each time I want you to tell me what is the mark, what is the goal, and then I want you to tell me what is the prize. In Philippians chapter 2, listen to verses 7 and 8. Speaking about Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, what was the goal? Don't think the cross. I want you to think of something else that Jesus had as a mark or a goal. What was the mark? No? Say it again. What's this whole passage about? Yes. To be a servant, to be humble. He humbled himself. He became a servant. I want you to see, and you'll see this as we go along, you're going to begin to see all of this more clearly. But he humbled himself. Did you know that Jesus Christ, as long as he was in the eternal heaven, there were things that the Bible says that Jesus learned as a man here on this earth. The Scripture, for example, says that he learned obedience as he came down here and dwelt in the flesh. There were goals that he had. There were marks that he had to reach. Jesus Christ humbled himself as he came down into this earth. He humbled himself, and he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Now, his goal was humility, to be humble in every way in his life. And Jesus Christ reached that goal, didn't he? Now, what was the prize? The goal was humility. What's the prize? Look at verse 9. After it tells us he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, what was the prize? What was the goal? Let me go back. What was the mark that he was going after? The mark was humility. The mark was humility. What was the prize? Yes. Yes. He humbled himself, and then the Father hath highly exalted him. You see the prize? What was the mark? To reach humility. What was the prize? To be lifted up. You remember how Jesus said, whosoever humbleth himself, do you have to humble yourself? Does being humble come natural? It does not come natural. being humble is something that you have to set. If you don't ever set being humble as a goal, if you don't ever set that as a mark to achieve, if you don't work at being humble, you'll never be humble. You have to work at being humble. You have to pray for God to help you to be humble. But you have to humble yourself, and there is a prize if you set that as a mark. If you set humility as a goal in your life that you really want to be humble, and you work toward that goal, and you reach that goal of being humble, what does God then do? He lifts you up. Jesus said, "Whosoever humbleth himself shall be lifted up. He that exalteth himself shall be abased, but whosoever humbleth himself shall be exalted." Let's go back to Matthew chapter 3 just a moment. Let's just look at the life of Jesus. I want you to see some goals or some marks that he reached, and every time he reached a mark, what was there for him? A prize. Thank you. Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 17. And this could be considered another aspect of humility or another. Let me ask you this. Can you sometimes reach the same goal a number of different times in your life? In other words, sometimes, brethren, Brother Philip, have you ever reached the goal of humility? I think everybody here knows there are times you've reached the goal of humility. What happens, though, sometimes when you reach a goal and you are humble and you get the prize for being humble, what then happens sometimes? Sometimes we get proud. We're really proud, and before we know it, we've got to set that same goal that we've already reached and already gotten a prize for reaching that goal. Sometimes we have to start over on that same playing field, and we have to go back and try to reach that same goal again. Jesus never had to do that. Every time Jesus set his mark toward a goal, every time he headed towards a mark and a goal, he reached that goal. He never failed to reach a goal. In Mark chapter 3, you remember how he came to John the Baptist. And he came to be baptized to him of John. And he humbled himself. And as he was doing that, as he submitted to water baptism, this is another time he was reaching a goal of what? A goal of humility. And what was the prize here? Listen, after he reached that goal of humbling himself in water baptism, remember the mark was humility here again. And then we come down to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, listen to verses 16 and 17. After he was baptized by John the Baptist, and by the way, does that take humility for you to humble yourself and submit to water baptism? Does that take humility? Yes, it does. Does it take obedience? Does it take love for Christ? Indeed, it does. And he humbled himself, and he was baptized. And then verse 16 says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." What was the prize? What was the prize? See, he saw the Spirit of God coming and lighting upon him like a dove. And then he got another prize. The 17th verse says, And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Do you see the goal? The goal was what? What was the mark? He pressed toward the mark. What was the mark? Humility. What was the prize? Seeing the Holy Spirit descend like a dove and hearing the Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 4. What do we see as the mark or the goal in Matthew chapter 4? What was the mark or the goal? Think about what Matthew 4, 1 through 11 is all about. The mark was not to be tempted. What was the mark? What was the goal? To overcome the temptation. Very good. The battlefield was the temptation, but the goal was to resist the temptation and to overcome the temptation. So Jesus, as he was tempted by the devil, and he was tempted time and time again, what did he use, what did he have that was enabling him to win and reach that mark or that goal? What did he use? He used the Word of God. And as he used the Word of God, he overcame temptation after temptation, and he resisted the devil. And what was the prize? Where do you see the prize in this passage of Scripture? What's the prize? Where's the prize found? Anybody look at this passage and see a prize? Yes, verse 11. Verse 11, after he has resisted the devil time and time again, Then in verse 11, the scripture says, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." I see two prizes there. The first prize is that the devil left him. Brethren, that's a blessing when the devil finally leaves you alone. Did you know that? He will, the scripture says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But he doesn't stay fleed. He'll come back. But at this point in time, he reached the goal, he reached the mark. And he resisted the devil, and then he got the prize. And the prize is the devil fled from him, and the second prize was the angels ministered unto him. You think that was a glorious experience for Jesus Christ to have the angels minister unto him? You think that was a good blessing in his life? I believe that it was. Let's go forward in the life of Jesus just a moment. Let's go ahead to the end of his life. Let's go to the cross of Calvary. And this is what Brother Mike was talking about earlier. And you can certainly see that in Philippians chapter 2. But the mark, the primary purpose of Jesus coming into the earth, what was the mark? What was the goal? What was the objective, the primary objective of him coming into the earth was to what? Save his people from their sins. Now, what did he have to do? He had to suffer, and he had to die on the cross of Calvary. And as he suffered, and as he was dying, and all that he went through during his life, and as he was hanging on the cross of Calvary, what was he doing? He was pressing toward what? He was pressing toward the mark. And whenever he was hanging on the cross of Calvary, and he said to that thief, one of those thieves, he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Did he have the prize clearly in his mind right there? And when he said, "It is finished," do you think that he clearly had the prize in his mind? And whenever he said to the Father, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," did he clearly have the prize in mind? He kept his eye on the prize, and he reached the goal, and he accomplished everything that he ever came into the earth to do. Now, you might not like all that terminology, but let's go to our lives. I believe, brethren, in our lives, that we have and we need to have a clear vision in our lives. What is the goal? What is the mark that God would have me to reach? And I would just ask you, everyone, I know that Jesus is the ultimate prize, but that's not the goal. If you look carefully at this, for example, let's go back to Philippians chapter 3. Go back to Philippians chapter 3. Is there a difference in the mark and the prize? He says, "I've pressed toward the mark for the what? For the prize." You see, you have to have these marks. You have to have these points in your life that God says, "Now, work toward this. Work in this area of your life." And as you work in that area of your life and you reach that goal, you reach that mark, there's a prize every time. Look at Philippians chapter 2. I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at Paul's life. Philippians chapter 3. We've been looking at Jesus, but now let's look at Paul's life. Had Paul, according to Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, had he accomplished many things in his life? He said, "I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees." He talked about all the things that he had. And then come down to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. Here's what Paul says. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss." Brethren, I'm going to tell you tonight that I believe that a mark and a goal that every one of us needs to have is to learn to say, "The things of this world, I'm turning my back on those things." That ought to be a mark. That ought to be a goal that every one of us has in our life. Isn't that a goal that Paul had right here? "My goal is to count all this but dung. My goal is to lay it all aside. My goal is to," what did he say in Philippians 3 about verse 13? He laid them aside, and then he said, "Forgetting those things that are behind." Should that be a goal in your life? To lay some things aside in your life? Do you need to lay some things aside in your life? Are there things in your life? You know, I had a young brother yesterday tell me, this week, he said, "Brother Billy," he said, "I'm getting rid of all my CDs." Now, how does that make you feel? Sister Cindy, one of your children says, I'm fixing to get rid of all my CDs. Good. They don't have any, so you'd want to know, where in the world did you get a CD? All right, that wasn't a good example. If they came to you and they said, there's something that I have that I need to lay aside. There's something in my life. There are things that we have. There are things that are part of, even if they're not material things, there are things that we have as part of our mind and heart and soul and part of our affections on things of the earth, and you have to learn to forget those things and lay them aside. Now, should that be a goal in your life, to lay some things aside? For example, the Scripture says, put off the what? Put off the old man. Should that be a goal in your life? To put off the old man. And to lay some things aside. Put them out of your life. Is it hard to do that? There are things in your life and my life that we need to learn. I've got to lay them aside. That needs to be a goal. That needs to be a mark in your life. I'm asking every one of you tonight that you pray that God will open your eyes and find things in your life that you know they ought not to be in your life. And you set it as a goal, as an objective. This is my mark. I'm going to get rid of this thing. I'm going to work to get rid of this thing. I'm going to ask somebody to help me pray to get rid of this thing in my life. Because then, that's a what? That's a mark. It's also called a what? It's a goal. And did Paul have that as a mark to get rid of these things? He said, I'll lay them all aside. And what was the prize? See? The prize was, listen, Philippians 3:7 again. He says, but what things were gained, that means what things were important to me, those things that meant a lot to me, but what things were gained, he says, those I counted loss for what? What's the prize? The prize is Christ here. The prize is Christ. Does that mean, am I saying tonight that if you'll lay some things aside, you'll get to go to heaven when you die? Not saying that at all. Brethren, eternal heaven is not a reward. There are no rewards in the eternal heaven for God's obedient children. The rewards that God gives His people are for why they live here in this world. And if you reach the mark and if you reach the goal, you get a prize every time. Are there a lot of rewards for God's people as they live in this world? But in order to get those rewards, what do you have to do? You have to set some goals. You have to work at them. You have to press. See, Paul said, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark. Now look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Is that hard for you to do? Listen, brethren, you will never, as a human being, you'll never lay anything of this world aside that it doesn't hurt you to lay aside. Paul suffered the loss of these things. It was difficult, but it was a goal that he had. And he set it as a goal, and he reached those goals. He says in Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Is that painful to count them but loss? I count all. Was that his goal? Was that his objective? Was that what he was trying to reach, to count them but loss? I count all things but loss for what? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You see, brethren, what the goal was? What was the goal? To count all things but loss. What was the prize? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may what? Win what? What's the prize? Christ. Oh, brethren, to be able to have intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ, to enter into His kingdom and sit down with the King. Jesus says, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit down with me in my kingdom, even as I sat down on my throne, even as I sat down with my Father on His throne. Can you sit down with Christ in His kingdom? Can you win Christ? Is Christ a prize? Now, and again, does that sound a little hard to accept that terminology? It's hard to accept the terminology, but listen, brethren, it's not demeaning to Christ because it's part of the way God expressed it in His Word. And we shouldn't ever be afraid to express and talk about what God's Word literally says. And God's Word literally is saying to me here, I've got a lot of goals to set. I want to be a touchdown. I want to reach those marks. I want to find out in my life. Now, Lord, have you ever tried, by the way, have you ever been running and realized you're not even on the right field? Sometimes that's what we do in our lives. We're running, but we're in the wrong field. You need to pray tonight, God, open my eyes. Help me see what it is. What goal is it I need to go for? What's the goal? What's the mark that I need to press for? Tonight, I want every one of you to think about what is the mark I need to press toward? Do you need to forget some things? Do you need to set some things out of your life? Do you need to forget some things in your life? Do you need to cut some things out of your life? Do you have to cut them out in order to have this prize? Absolutely. If you don't cut them out, if Paul had not cut them out of his life, he would have never had the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He would have never won Christ if he didn't forget those things that are behind. And so it is tonight, I encourage all of you that you would pray, God, help me to see the things. You know what I thought when this brother told me that he got rid of, or was going to get rid of all of his CDs? You know what I thought? Oh dear, his parents are going to think that I have brainwashed this poor soul again. Well, let me tell you something, brethren. I want all of you to be sold out for Christ. I want all of you to be willing to suffer. Did Paul suffer when he turned? What do you think people said about Paul when he walked away from all that he had there as a prominent Jew in the Jews' religion? What do you think they all thought about? How many of you think that all those people in the Jews' religion, those people that remained in the Jews' religion, how many of them would mark, there's another one that's lost his mind? I don't think there was anybody in the Jews' religion that didn't think Paul had lost his mind. Because he turned his back on all that stuff that was important to the natural man. There's another dummy. There's another one that's brainwashed. Well, brethren, that's what we need to be as Christians, is sold out for Jesus. 100%. And it's not, brethren, it is brainwashing. I want you to think about this. This is pretty now. I want my brain to be washed. You hear me? I want my mind to be clean. I want my brain to be washed and clean. I want to get these dirty things out of my mind. I want to be brainwashed. Oh, man, brethren, I don't mind people saying it anymore. I had never thought about it being like that. Brainwashed is cleaning up your mind. Do you see how pretty that is? To be brainwashed, to get your mind clean. We need to be brainwashed. Clean your mind. So if somebody tells you you're brainwashed, you say, thank you, thank you. I'm glad that you think I'm brainwashed. I hope my mind is washed. I hope that it's clean. I hope that I'll set those things out of my mind and out of my heart and all those other things that the devil would bring into my life to destroy my life. I want you to remember this. You either are going to set these goals, you're either going to see the goals that God has set for you, and you're going to strive for those goals, and you're going to reach those goals, and you're going to get the prize, or else your life will be destroyed. It's one or the other. You will either set the goal and go toward the goal and reach the goal and get the prize, or else your life will be destroyed. Go with me in closing to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And while you're turning there to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I just want to remind you what Jesus said. He said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that... should that be a goal of your life, to walk the straight and narrow way? That be a goal? Should that be a mark? I want to set this as a mark, to walk the straight and narrow way. What's the prize? Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto what? What's the prize? Life, that abundant life. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the what? The kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Should it be a goal, a mark for you to do the will of the Father? What's the prize? Entering into the kingdom of heaven, having fellowship with Christ. It's Christ. Now listen, in closing, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Brethren, this is so important. It's important to you children, you young people. It's important to the adults. It's important to me. It's important to every one of us that we get rid of the gods of this world. Get them out of your life. They'll destroy you. I mentioned straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. But I did not mention broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. Destruction. That's what your alternative is. It's either set the goal and mark that goal and strive and press toward that mark of walking the straight and narrow way that leads to life. That's the prize. Or it's go ahead and just relax and walk the broad way. You don't have to strive to walk the broad way, by the way. It's not hard at all. The devil will try everything he can to get you to walk the broad way, and he'll deceive you. The devil will deceive me. And he'll have me walking down a path that leads to what? Leads to destruction. Can your life be destroyed? As close as any of you are to God tonight, your life could be destroyed if you choose the wrong path. If you get on the wrong ball field, you're going to be destroyed. Now listen to 2 Corinthians 6. I'm not going to read all this. You know what it says. Be not, it started in 2 Corinthians 6:14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. The Word of God says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Do you have any communion with darkness in your life right now? You know what the devil is? There are two things the Bible specifically says he is. What is the devil? He's a what? A liar. Now I want you to think about this. One of the preachers that we meet every Wednesday morning here and have prayer with, he brought this up. He said, now the devil is a liar, and he's the father of lies. Now I want all of you to listen to this carefully. He's the father of lies. The devil is the father of lies. Does the Bible say that? Does Jesus say that? He's the father of lies. Now, in order for you to bring forth a lie out of your mouth, you know who you've had intimate fellowship with? Every time that you have lied, you've had intimate fellowship with somebody. You know who you've had intimate fellowship with when you lie? You've had intimate fellowship with the devil himself. There's no other way for you to come forth with a lie except you get so close to the devil who is he's the what? Father of lies. You've had intimate fellowship with the father of lies when you tell a lie. Is that a good way for me to identify the things that are truly of the devil in my life? Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What'll happen to you? You'll be destroyed. But what if you set as a goal, I'm not going to lie anymore, and I'm not going to have fellowship with unbelievers, and I'm going to be brainwashed, and I'm going to cleanse my hands and purify my hearts. And if I set that as a goal in my life, which is a goal Jesus tells us to set, and I set that as a mark and a goal, and I press toward that mark, here's a prize that you'll get. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, listen to verses 17 and 18. The Word of God says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Should that be a mark? Should you press toward this mark to be separate and live a separate life? Yes, you should. He says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What's the prize? What's the prize? God says, I'll be a what? I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Is that a prize? Oh, it's as good a prize as you'll ever have. What do you have to do to get that prize? You have to press toward the mark. What's the mark? Come out from among them. That's the goal. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and you'll get the prize. May God help us to identify some marks that God would have me and you to go after, some goals, and go after those goals and do whatever's necessary to reach those goals, because the prizes that God has for you in this life are wonderful and abundant. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.